Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STANS, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you so much, Marlon. Thanks, everybody, as always, for joining us. We are so gratified and humbled by the fact that week after week, you all continue to participate in these calls. And by the way, when I travel around the country, I have people say to me, I'm on your call. I say, oh, really? They say, yeah, I'm most of the time. I'm there. I can't do it all the time. But I get that a lot. So this call has existed now for over a decade, and we're very, very grateful to you all for your participation. Let me say a word of prayer, and then we will introduce our guest. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a nation like the United States of America, where we are free to do what we're doing right now. Because we know, Lord, there are countries around the world in which this is not possible. Even countries that claim to be free would not allow this because they would say some of the things that we have to say, they would call hate speech and ban it, even though all we're doing is reflecting the truth as we know it to be. And we're doing so with love. We don't hate anybody, but nevertheless, we'd be censored in many countries in Europe and other places around the world. So we are grateful, Lord, for this nation that acknowledges that our right to freedom of speech and freedom of conscience and freedom of worship and freedom of religion and freedom of assembly are all inherent in who we are as human beings. These are not gifts of the government, but they are the grant of Almighty God. Help us to preserve this constitutional republic, Lord, because we are under grave threat right now. There are so many forces working to change the fundamental nature of this country that it's almost staggering. It's almost overwhelming when we actually think about it. But we are so grateful for our guest today and for those leaders around the country who are taking a stand, who are in effect standing in the gap before you in behalf of the land. We thank you, Lord God, that we are so desperately in need of media outlets that would allow the truth of the gospel to go out and allow the truth of the application of God's word to go out when there are so many outlets that simply will not allow that any longer. And so we thank you for our guest, Paul Lodato, and what you've done with him through Christian Television Network, and Lord, for all these leaders who are standing up for what they know to be right. Help us to continue to do that, and help us to remember that we've already won, because Jesus Christ has already won the battle for us. The victory is ours. The battle is the Lord's. All our job is to be faithful and to do what you've called us to do until we see the complete and total victory over all sin and evil. And so, Lord, we are so grateful. We commit this call. We commit this country. We commit ourselves into your loving care. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, today we're going to do a little switch on you, but I think you're going to be very, very happy about it when all is said and done. It turns out that Pastor Reza Safa has had a health setback and is not able to be with us today, but he is very apologetic and wants to come on at another time, and he will. We were going to be talking primarily about Islam and the implications of what's happening in Israel right now and so forth. He is an Iranian and knows this stuff inside and out, both from experience and from a scholarly point of view. So we're looking forward to having him at another time. But please pray for him. We're not angry or upset with him. He's got to take care of his own health, and he'll be back with us at another time. But we have the blessing of a dear friend of mine stepping in who happens to have Pastor Reza Safa as his pastor, who introduced me to him, made me aware of him, which is Paul Lodato. Paul Lodato runs the Christian Television Network down in Tampa, which has television stations all over that area and some other places as well. It's one of really the leading media figures in the country. But of course, as I've always said, as I've been saying a long time, Christians are in a sense ghettoized in the mainstream. They're out there, they're doing great things, but the mainstream media simply doesn't report on them because they want to marginalize us. But I tell you what, he's having an impact. And I'm honored that I have a program on his network, Vision Awakening. So, and he has a lovely wife. They have Yvette and a great ministry down there. They're dear friends of mine. And so he's going to talk about culture and media, folks, which is a big deal. So, Paul, welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. Thank you for stepping in. Man, this is very, very timely as far as I'm concerned. This is God using that terrible situation that your pastor is facing, but to give you an opportunity to share with us some things that we really need to hear. So, my friend, the floor is yours.
Well, I'm honored. I apologize about Pastor Reza, but definitely he's honored to come back and do season with you. And we did send a link of an interview that we did that maybe will be put out in the future. But, you know, hey, we've got to continue to be salt and light. I know that's what Stand is all about. I know that's what you're all about. And, yes, here in the Fort Myers-Naples region where I'm based, even though we're in Tampa and all over the place, through our Christian television network, Vision Awakening does air every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and they can watch it by live streaming at ctntelevision.com every Saturday night, ctntelevision.com. Instead of watching crazy news, you can watch Bishop at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. And I appreciate your stand for the gospel, you, Marlon, and your team, Vanity, and those that are on this call that are standing up and being counted. You know, in today's sight and sound generation culture, you have to reach people where they are. And yes, there are people that are marginalizing the media, and they want to silence voices, et cetera. But, you know, remember this, that greater is he that's in us than what's in this world. That, you know, we're to occupy till Jesus comes wherever he has planted us, whatever our sphere of influence is, whether you're in the marketplace, whether you're in the media, wherever God has called you, that's where you want to occupy. And, you know, this was kind of in and out of season, but I just want to remind people, when you're talking about fulfilling your calling in the media or wherever God has planted you, always analyze, where are you most fruitful? You may have a desire and a passion to do something, but where are you bearing the most fruit? And then ask God for the wisdom. What gifts and talents did he give me? You know, those are things to evaluate. If he's asking you to be on television or to communicate in the digital space, say, Lord, what is my motive for doing this? Because, you know, being sensitive to your calling, if God calls you to it, he'll bring you through it, the old saying is. And it's so important, whatever you're compelled to do by God in the media, we need more people to be bearers of truth and to keep speaking up. And that's why I've always appreciated your wonderful ministry and the team, because you care about the gospel and amplifying the gospel's message. And it's so important that we also guard our heart in today's culture, because many times, based on what we see, the old saying, people see you before they hear you. I like to say, if your website is not ready, you're not ready to go to the next step for television, or television is telling a vision, or to do other media entities, in my opinion. Because what happens is, today, if you're a pastor on this call, they're going to Google your church website before they come to your church many times. And people associate the type of ministry they receive or the type of services they receive, if you're a business person listening to this call, with what they see, because people are so, in America today, are so carnal. They're led by their senses. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, not led by their senses. But today, in the culture we live in today, people are led by their senses. So it's so important, when you communicate in today's culture using media, that you use visual engagement. If you're preaching a message, and, you know, with what happened with COVID, when churches were locked down and et cetera, well, many people went to the internet and started streaming their services. Well, make your stuff look attractive. Here's a little tip. Here's an example. When you put scripture verses up, put them up as a full screen graphic and cut back, cut away. Why are you saying this, Paul? I'm saying this because to communicate in today's sight and sound generation culture, people look at it visually. And just a little bit of time of enhancing your presentation, if you will, visually, that will enhance the opportunity for people to be reached for Jesus, as well as to be discipled for Jesus. I think many times that old saying, we can make converts really well in America today, but we don't really make real disciples. And It's so important, these patriots that are on this call, that, you know, we have the greater one on the inside of us, that we just really occupy where God has planted us. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus was out there reaching people in the marketplace, at the temple square, at social gatherings, and where people debated and discussed ideas. But equivalent to today is television, radio, internet, film. And here's a quote by Leonard Sweet. It says, "The church has no role in public culture unless it is present in the media. To be without a media presence is to be voiceless and powerless in a postmodern culture." That's Leonard Sweet, who wrote a book called Soul Tsunami, T-S-U-N-A-M-I, years ago. And then you think about, who's your target audience? How are you reaching them currently if you're a pastor? You know, television is not a miracle pill, but it can enhance what you're called to do. How do I engage that audience? Why is this message so important? And I like to say, we have the greatest message. We have the greatest message ever told. What are some pitfalls to avoid in doing media? You know, that's why we have to check our motive, because sometimes pride can set in and it's a blind spot. We don't realize it. But I like to say humility brings a miraculous into our life. And so in order to fulfill your calling and to do what God has called you to do, it's real important that we continue to evaluate on a practical level. Hey, when I'm out here communicating, how am I communicating? And then what are the practical things? Because in a 500-channel universe today, people change the channel every 7 to 8 minutes. So you have to be visually engaging, and there's different ways to communicate that. And I hope what I've kind of shared a little bit can help somebody in the journey. And maybe I could even take questions for people that are wanting to communicate better. That's all right, Bishop.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Paul. Thank you again, man, for stepping in. And this is such an important topic because, and you and I have discussed this, and folks, I want you all to weigh on this. As you know, part of the big problem with my presidential campaign is that the media basically just shut me out. I mean, just completely shut me out. And the only exposure I got really was on Christian media. But it was never able to break through to the mainstream media. I mean, they didn't report on my announcement. They didn't report that I was a Republican candidate for the nomination, and none of that. And yet everywhere I went, the people responded with great enthusiasm. So how do Christians, given with the world we're in now, who, whether it's for my son and my daughter, in-law has started businesses, and they're trying to promote their businesses and reach as many people as possible. How do we break through and get to all of those people out there that the media doesn't really want you to reach?
You know, that's a loaded question, but it's so true. If anybody listens to you, they know, you know, what kind of person you are, number one. They know it makes sense, the values you're talking about. And, you know, with your type of background, being a Harvard Law graduate and a former United States Marine, I mean, you definitely have the pedigree to do well as a future president. What I would say to those that and your relatives is that if you can't break through into the mainstream media with your project, get a proven, somebody has fruit on the tree, if you will, publicists. There's a lot of PR firms, a lot of quote-unquote digital media people, but find out who are their clients and see if they have a track record that can break you through, so to speak. Because if they don't have that, that's one practical step, but it's tough. It's even tough in that world because they could be representing other people, or they may not want to take a presidential campaign on because they don't want the controversy for their organization, you know, just in that case. So you've got to find somebody that's seasoned. And I like to say it's almost like having a legitimate PR firm is like having fire insurance for your company. They can help you with messaging. They can help in a lot of different ways. But you want someone that's already, I like to say, a believer in Jesus Christ, but also already has a bridge to the mainstream media and has relationships, because if they have relationships, there's a better chance that that message can get out. But it's very tough because some of those PR firms don't want to even take, they quote-unquote say, I don't want to engage in politics. But I think if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, anyways, most of the stuff is social moral issues that we should engage in. And we as pastors and we as media outlets should be speaking on these things. And that's why I love what you do, Bishop.
Folks, press star 6 to get in queue to ask Paul a question. He runs a television network. He's very familiar with media and also with the problems that we are facing as conservatives and Christians in getting our message out. So, Paul, your network, for example, I'm on your network. I can say things there that would never be acceptable in the mainstream media. How do Christians respond? So, for example, you will never hear anybody, even in conservative media, say homosexuality is sin. They won't
right.
say it. They will
right.
not say that. And yet, that used to be understood in America because we are a Judeo-Christian country, but now it's not acceptable to say that. I just saw in the news earlier today that these schools are beating up girls who refuse to let guys who claim to be women join their sororities, be in their showers, join their sports teams. They don't want to participate in that. They're making the girls into monsters. The girls are bad. What's wrong with these girls that they won't embrace these transgender guys? And if you step up and say, God made us male and female, and you can't be a man and become a woman or be a woman and become a man. Oh, you're transphobic. So we don't want to hear. How do we deal with that? I mean, one thing, we support people like you to get the message out. But how do we deal with a situation where even our conservative allies sometimes shy away from us because what we say, which is just biblical, is now considered to be extremist?
Oh, you're 100% right. I mean, George Barna states that 37% of pastors believe the Bible is absolute truth. So that's an indication what's happening today in America has to do many times because we're not standing up and preaching the truth of God's word, like the example you just used. And so there are even not just conservative outlets, there are even Christian outlets, whether they're TV ministries or whatever, they don't want any controversy, or they'd rather line themselves up with, we just want to be so neutral that we don't affect our quote unquote donor base, or they use the cop out, our nonprofit status. Well, you know, Jesus didn't say, you know, yes, we're supposed to speak the truth with grace and love. He said that, but he didn't say, you know, please a certain amount of donor base. You know, I don't want to offend nobody, so I don't want to speak on the issues. And that's where I think the root of the problem is we've got people. Now, that's not your problem. That's why you have an organization called Stand America. I like to say go to standamerica.us and support it, because you're actually saying stand up, and you're living it out, not just saying it, you're doing it. There are many Christian outlets who won't let preachers speak on certain issues, even forget running a presidential campaign, just they don't want to let people speak. You know, you want to be aligned with a network that is great commission minded, soul-winning. He didn't say great suggestion minded, he said great commission minded. A pastor friend of mine told me that, Pastor Dan Betzer. Here in Fort Myers. He used to pastor First Assembly of God in Fort Myers for 34 years, and he's still a dear friend. And he used media for years. Bylines, he was on the board of the Assemblies of God. But back to your thing is how do we break through? You have to find, and today's culture, you know, the times are, in the perilous times we're in, it says that the love of many will grow cold. And I think what's happened is we've got the love of many that have influence even in the media that have grown cold. They don't have the fire in their belly to say, you know what, Jesus wants us to live out this great commission and be salt and light and to take a stand for Jesus. And he is my source, so therefore I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to address these social moral issues from the pulpit, and I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the gospel is, Romans 1:16, the power of God and salvation to the Jew and to everyone that believes. So we can't be ashamed of speaking the gospel, and we cannot water down the word of God or to try to please people. I think what bottom line, what one of the issues is we have fear of man And so whether it's in our media or whether it's in our churches or in our marketplace, we're afraid of what people think. And so we'd rather please man than please our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's ultimately what we're doing.
So if you want to reach people, and you know, part of my thing became, well, look, let me just at least speak to Christians. Let me be able to reach Christians. But you're right, even some Christian organizations are afraid of addressing what the Bible says. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, you know, when the Bible speaks, you speak. when the Bible's silent, you be silent. So they don't want to speak on these issues where the Bible speaks, because they know that people won't like it. And you're right. The fear of man is a snare, and that's the snare that's gotten them caught up in. No, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, because, you know, and even let's talk a little bit about the life issue. Even when it comes to me, the most fundamental issue of life, we have preachers and some pastors and Christians who don't want to address that issue. Talk a little bit about you know, how your network has navigated that and how Christians should.
Well, in particular, Christian Television Network, we have 24 affiliates in strategic markets, 6 in Florida, and then we're nationwide on DirecTV, Dish Network, Glory Star Network, and the App Star 7. We were founded in 1979 by Bob DeAndre, who hired me 18 years ago. So I started when I was 28, Bishop. I now have some gray hair. For those listening.
And, but you still look young.
I'm still young, 48. But one of the things we have done and purpose to do, he just passed away about 2 years ago, a little less than that, and his daughter and her husband and her brother are the leaders of our network now. They have continued the legacy of addressing that particular issue through a program we do nationally called Real Life, Real Life. And it's telling the stories of those that have had abortions to find healing for women and men, and then also giving some practical tools, you know, to help to bring healing and restoration. So that's something we started back in, I think, 2014, and we continue that today because we're not ashamed of speaking to the culture and help. You know, I feel like we're a public service to the community, you know, and so as a media entity, you need to speak truth and love and be salt and light and speak on the issues. Just like, you know, I like to say we have a gigantic fishing net. Here in Southwest Florida, where I'm based, we reach, you know, about, you know, over 1 million households, and very conservatively, it's over 2 million potential people. But wherever God has planted you, there's an opportunity for you to speak on that. They need to know where people or pastors stand on these issues. And if you lose a bunch of people, don't worry. God's still your source and your provider. You know, it's easier said than done, because sometimes we count the building program and everything else. If I lose this person or if I lose that person, you know, and don't sell out to anybody's money. I don't care how known they are in your congregation. You know, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'll say it. Just do not compromise a vision God has given you for the sake of a few people who may give you write a big check for something, you know. So to your question, CTN has been addressing that. We have a weekly broadcast called Real Life that airs across the country almost for 10 years now, and we're actually working to translate it in Spanish as we speak.
Well, look, God bless you for it, and because to me, that's the litmus test. That's the canary in the coal mine. When people can't understand the most fundamental principle, which is God is the creator of life, and every child that is conceived, God has a plan for that child. If you can't stand up under that one and for that one, I can't trust you to stand up for anything. Because, I mean, to me, it's just so fundamental. And yet we have people who seem perfectly willing to compromise on that issue. Look, I know you serve a diverse community as well. There's a lot of attempts to divide us and divide the country racially and denominational, all of that. How do you all address that? How do you, you know, because I know you and I know that you just love people and care about people. But we have a big movement in the country to not do that, to divide us my skin color and other things.
And it shouldn't be so, you know, Bishop, because if you love God, the Bible's clear. How can you love God and hate your brother? You know, Jesus died for the whole world, not for a race. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know, so we're to, you know, I'm reminded, I'm going to find this scripture real quick. I think it's John 14. Those that want to find out more about Real Life, or they need restoration or a helpline, we've got that website, reallifetv.life, reallifetv.life, reallifetv.life. And I'm going to look up this scripture right now, and I think it's John 14, that when you asked that question, it triggered in my spirit. And it's a good reminder for us that are believers in Jesus Christ. John 14, I believe it's 35. Lay down your life for one another. I'm trying to find where that is. I'm not sure where that is. But we're to lay our lives down for each other. If we call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ, hey, you're my brother, you're my sister. It doesn't matter your skin color. It really doesn't even matter your denomination. Even though you may be stuck in a man's denomination, if you, the main thing is that you believe in that Jesus died and rose again and was buried and forgives you of your sin, you know what? Through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes revelation takes time for people to grow into, but, you know, why is it? Was it Martin Luther King that said we're the most segregated time in America is on a Sunday morning? That should not be so. A picture of heaven is a multicultural church, and we should aim to do that. I know sometimes we feel more comfortable with our own culture, et cetera, but we've got to get out the comfort zone sometimes, and it's important to stretch a little bit and invite somebody of another race to your body. Invite them and let them experience Jesus, because that's what it all comes down to, one blood, one covenant.
You know, I told my church this Sunday, I said, you know, from God's perspective, there's only two groups, if you want to call races of people, those who belong to him and those who don't.
There you go.
I mean, yes, that's sir. It. You know?
Yes.
And heaven and the kingdom is going to be made up of all the people who belong to him, and they're going to come from, as Revelation says, every race and tongue and nation and tribe. I mean, people from all over.
Yes.
And I tell people, if you can't live together here, how are you sure you want to go to heaven? Because heaven's going to be a place where I say you're not going to get there and say, Lord, I want the Italian section. where are the Irish people? Where are the black folks, the Africans? I mean, it just doesn't work that way. But the world is trying to really push that agenda on us. And thank God for you and Paul and your wife and your network and what you all are doing to resist that and to speak the truth, which is ultimately from God's perspective is just the human race.
Amen. And I remember, Bishop, that scripture. It's John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It comes back to God's love in us, compels us to love everybody, no matter their skin color or where they come from.
Right. Not if black people love black people and Hispanic Christians love Hispanic Christians and this, that, and so on. No, it doesn't say that. It says we're supposed to love one another because we love him and we're in him.
Amen.
That's what the country so desperately needs. Look, we got one question. I don't want to deny. We got a California caller who calls in from time to time. I don't want to deny him the opportunity to speak to you before we go. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to ask you for any closing thoughts you have about the future of the country and what how Christians should respond to the stuff that they see going on, which we know is horrendous. But let's take Jose's call.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Jose from California, deep in the heart of the belly of the beast. And Paul, thanks so much for all your comments and your encouragement and direction. It reminds me of Proverbs 24:11 that we are called to rescue those being led to death and hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If we say we did not know, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? So this is the obligation on pastors. My question is this. Do you think that even in the secular arena, with Elon Musk. I don't know if he's really good or bad ultimately, but some of his work to take over Twitter, to open up the eliminate the censorship and the bias, and even his offer or suggestion about Walt Disney, who's tanking because of their totally demonic agenda and leading our kids astray. Do you think that these movements in the secular world will help to motivate pastors to, you know, realize their obligation to step out and really be true shepherds and not just followers of culture? Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you, Jose.
Dios te bendiga, Jose. And I would say this. I'm not sure if it will, but for them to see somebody taking a stand, amen. But I think for a pastor, it just comes back to how important is the Bible in my life and living that Bible out. Because if that's your plumb line, then you're going to speak to the culture. You're going to speak to the truth, and you're not going to hesitate no matter what Elon Musk does or anybody else does. I'm going to stand up and be who God called me to be. Just like my fingerprint's different from everybody else, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be unique, but just be Bible-based. Have a biblical worldview. If you have a biblical worldview and you operate on that premise, then you will not be afraid to stand, and you will see other torchbearers. And, you know, God is the source of all creativity. He'll give ideas to people to create other content out there. And just like you're seeing some of that even happen today. So that would be my answer to you, Jose.
Amen. Amen. Well, Paul, this has been great. Very encouraging and very enlightening, too, when it comes to media. Before you go, tell people again how they, because obviously you got a lot of different ministers and speakers and programs on your network. So tell people how they can plug into your network again, either online or through their cable carrier.
Yeah, so locally here in Southwest Florida, you can find all our programming, including yours, every Saturday night at 10 Eastern at ctntelevision.com, ctntelevision.com. That's where I am here in the Fort Myers-Naples region. Across Christian Television Network, you can see all of our other 23 affiliate stations in different markets, as well as our national information. You can go to CTN Online, ctnonline.com. You can get to us from there, but our live streaming locally. But ctnonline.com. And you can look at the program guide for the national satellite to see, you know, programs. But again, Bishop's Show is 10 o'clock Eastern here in Southwest Florida on Saturdays. And I know there's another time it airs too, but that's off the top of my head. So.
Okay. And you said you're on Dish and DirecTV and.
Yeah. All that's on that website, but DirecTV, okay. Channel 376, Dish Network 262, and Glory Star Satellite Channel 117. I have a national show on the network every Friday night at 6:30 Eastern called Contending for the Faith. And I know you've been on that, Bishop, and we want to have you back. And it's a great show.
All right. Well, listen, man, keep up the good work. You all are doing a magnificent job, not only for Florida, but for the country. Amen. I'm praying for you and just believing God that's going to continue to grow. I really believe that you all, organizations like American Family Radio that I had a radio program on and others that are willing to really take a stand are really the future of the country. I believe.
Amen.
So God bless you. Please give my love to Yvette. Me and my wife can send our love to you all. Hope to see you all soon. Keep up the good work, Paul. And let your pastor know we're not offended. We love him. We're praying for him. We're looking forward to having him when he's ready.
I'll let him know I love you. And I want to just encourage everybody listening. If you're wanting to make a year-end gift, you didn't tell me to say this, but I'm going to say it. It's tax-deductible. Give to standamerica.us as you purpose in your heart. Not out of compulsion, but just as you purpose in your heart, make a year-end gift donation to standamerica.us so you can keep amplifying not only these calls, but amplifying the message of the gospel, because I know you're not afraid. You're a Semper Fi Marine, after all, and a lover of Jesus. I love it.
All right, Paul, listen, man, that was the Holy Ghost. Thank you, brother.
All right,
man. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye now. Folks, before we go, I'm glad he said that. I said that really was of the Holy Spirit, because I was going to say to you all, we have a donor who has committed $50,000 up to $50,000 in matching gifts. That means every dollar that you give is going to be matched up to $50,000. So, I mean, if you give five, it's 10. If you give 20, it's 40. If you give 100, it's 200. If you give 50, it's 100. If you give 5,000, it's 10,000. Because he's going to match every dollar up to $50,000 between now and December 31 for this month only. Now, this runs out at the end of the month. But for this month only, there's that matching grant. So those of you who would be inclined to make a contribution to us, now is definitely the time, because your contribution is going to be, in effect, doubled. Now, the second thing I want to say is, and that would be standamerica.us. The second thing I want to say is, on Thursday, for those of you who tune into my podcast, which comes on live Tuesday through Friday. It airs on Monday, but we usually air a tape of my Sunday morning message. But I'm on live Tuesday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, E.W. Jackson for America, E.W. Jackson for President, that is. But on Thursday, I have a major announcement that I'm going to be making, and I hope that all of you will tune in to hear what I have to say, because it's going to be very, very important. It's going to be about my future, about the future of this organization, Stand, about the future of my campaign. It's going to be about a whole host of things, but I've got major announcements to make, and you really don't want to miss it. You probably won't see it in the mainstream media, because they're not going to cover me, because they've decided that the best way to deal with me is to try to pretend I don't exist, and that's the sad reality of it, but that's okay. I really believe God is developing networks of his own to get his message across, even though the mainstream media has decided to turn their back on God and on God's people almost completely and not acknowledge us at all. So tune in to my podcast, 8:30 a.m. You can get it on our Facebook page. You can get it on standamerica.us. You can get it on ewjacksonforpresident.com as well. Okay. So that's Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. You don't want to miss it. Next thing I want to say is, for those of you who in the area, but even no matter where you are in the country, on June 27th, at Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Chesapeake Conference Center, Andrew Womack is coming to Southeast Virginia. Stand and my church, the Call Church, are hosting his visit. And it is going to be a tremendous time, folks. And no matter where you are in the country, if you support me, you know anything about Andrew Womack Ministries, this is something, even if you have to fly across the country to be a part of, this is something you don't want to miss. I believe it's going to be an historic meeting. And he's coming to be a blessing to the people in this area, and he's coming to bless our organizations as well. I've been working with Andrew now, known Andrew for about 5 years. He and I have become very dear friends. And the man is on fire for God, and he is one of these people with a major ministry that is not afraid to tell the truth. I mean, he just period.
Amen.
He doesn't play around. He tells the truth, and so he's going to be on. He's going to be with us on Saturday, January 27th at 6 p.m. I would encourage all of you to go to our websites and register for that, because we're right now prepared to accommodate 1,000 people. We can go up from there, but we want to see the registration. And if we need to have more seating, we want to make sure that we have more seating available. So don't forget that. Put that on your schedule now. And if you're in the area, you definitely want to be here. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Pray for good weather, folks, because we don't get much bad weather in our area. But I rebuke the devil. any effort to create a snowstorm or tornadoes or anything that might happen, so we have nice weather and people don't have any inhibitions against coming out and being a part of that. Well, look, the last thing I'd say is this, folks. Again, if you read the news and you listen to the reports of what's going on, you could become discouraged, you could despair, you could think, well, you know what, it's really, for all practical purposes, it's really all over. And in the natural, it may seem that way, but that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why I remain so optimistic, so hopeful about the future of our country, because I know that God is still on the throne. And I believe that the God who gave us this country will not allow it to be taken away if those of us who understand that are willing to take a stand. And so I just want to encourage you, don't let any of the stuff that you are seeing and hearing dissuade you at all. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it cause you to, you know what, man, I just need to go do something else. What's happened with my presidential campaign, believe me, has not discouraged me at all. In fact, all it's done is forced me to think about other creative ways I can help save this country, because I really believe that God wants his people to proclaim his word, the truth of his word. And he said that the nation whose God is the Lord is blessed. That's the basis of why America has been so successful, because our God has been the Lord. He wants us to make sure we preserve that most essential quality of our country so that he can continue to bless us. And I am not giving that up. I don't care what anybody says, what anybody does, what they say about me, what they try to do to me. I don't care what they do. I'm going to stay in this fight, and I'm going to be in it until the day I am called home to heaven. So that, I just want you all to know, that is my attitude. That's why you don't see me ever talking about or thinking about quitting, because I just, it's just, it's like Jeremiah, there's a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I will not hold my peace. So, folks, I want you all to have the same attitude. Just be a fool for Christ. Just say, you know what? I don't care what I look like. I don't care what they think of me. I don't care what they say about me. Look, they call us bigots. They call us haters, none of which is true. We love people. They call us Christian nationalists, which is to associate us with Nazis, when we hate everything the Nazis stood for. We love the Jewish people. They call us everything you can imagine to try to marginalize us and to minimize us, and to make people think that we are the extremists. We are dangerous people, you know. We are the people who are a threat to the country. The opposite is true. We are the salt and light that will preserve America for our posterity, but we have got to take the stand. So I just want to encourage you all to keep doing that, okay? Stick with us. Don't quit. Don't get up. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be down. Don't be sad. Just say, you know what? I don't care. Sometimes the worst things get, you just have to say, then the harder I'm going to get, the more determined I'm going to get. Because ultimately, we win. We know that ultimately we win. And that's the basis upon which we can keep fighting with absolute confidence. So, look, God bless each and every one of you. Remember, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.